to Genesis, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to skip down to verse, because Abraham's in a vision. Abraham's in a vision, and the vision is without measure. And I want you to listen to this vision. And God brought Abraham outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Imagine, you know, when you get rid of all the ground light that we have because of electricity today, you take all the ground light away and you take the new moon towards it's dark, correct? How many stars can you go out and see? It's incredible. There have been times in Donley where I can look up into the heavens and I can see the stars. Not only can I see the stars that are always there, it seems, but then you can begin to see the Aurora Borealis, or you can begin to see the Milky Way. And the stars in the Aurora Borealis, or the stars in the Milky Way, I mean, it's a saturation of a night sky. It's beautiful. And so if you can even imagine what God is showing Abraham at this moment, he is giving him the testimony of Jesus Christ. Abraham, if you will believe in what I have said, this is Jesus in you. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want you to picture that in your mind for a moment. Because I know it's talking about Abraham or Abram, but the story belongs to you. It is God in you. It is Jesus in you that God is making known in you. So in this vision, the Lord takes Abram out on this plateau and tells him to look up, to see the stars of heaven. And in the stars of heaven, he's telling Abraham, the seed that I have given you, that is called Jesus Christ, it's innumerable in its power. There's no beginning and no end in it, Abram. In it is every answer for every life, for every generation that I have put in you. That's a possession that we can hang on to. That's a word from heaven that we can cling to in the hope of the promise that God has blessed us with in his son, Jesus Christ. And let me read it again. And God brought Abram outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So every thought that comes from Christ becomes innumerable in you in the life of himself. Thus, it's worlds without end. That's an amazing grace that God has given to us. And Abram believed the Lord. And because he believed, it was counted to him as righteousness. Listen to this. If I will just believe in the promise of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his gospel of being raised from the dead, that when I believe, when I receive that word from heaven called the seed and what it can bring forth in the eternities of himself, of God himself, and that's the promise that God hath given to you as a son. And God said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out from the Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to possess. What land is he talking about? Is he talking about a physical land, or is he talking about the kingdom of heaven? Is he talking about where God himself dwells and has lived and walked and has always lived and walked forevermore? He's describing something greater to his son Abraham, to his son Abram. Abram's hope was that he would have a son according to be his heir, right? And God gave him that promise that that would be so. And Abraham in his mind was asking, when is this going to come to pass, Lord? And God is reassuring him that this son that he has desired, this son that he has wanted to be his heir, his possession, this son is coming forth out of heaven for his generations forever. And it's the same promise that God hath made to all of us in Jesus Christ, lacking nothing. And Abram said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And then he takes him into making a sacrifice. Now he's going to bind him in a covenant to know that what God has said, God will do. And in that binding, you know what he does? He puts Abraham in a great darkness. Woohoo! How many of you are waiting for God to take you and put you in a darkness where you cannot see? And in that darkness comes Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And in the light of the world, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the darkness is taken away forever. It's no longer there. Now come with me to chapter 17. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Isn't it a wonder that every time God comes to Abram, what does God say? I am the Lord. I am God. I am He. Every time. Takes the guesswork out of it, John. God is faithful. God's going to tell you who He is. God's going to tell you where it's coming from. God's going to describe it because it describes God, and God makes it known. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. In the King James Version, it says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Perfect means to be blameless. What is blameless? If you're blameless before God, God has nothing against you. There's no condemnation working in your mind. You're at rest in the word of God. You've received something from the Lord. That's why when God came to Noah and made himself known to Noah, what did he say to Noah? He walked blameless in his generations. Can you imagine that? He walked blameless. In our minds, we were like, well, that's impossible. No, if you focus on you, yes, it's impossible. If you focus on Jesus Christ, it's not impossible. It's amazing how Noah saw the Lord, and in seeing the Lord, his trust was in God, and his generations were made perfect. It's the same way with us in Christ Jesus. The reason that God made Jesus Christ manifest is so that our trust and hope would be in Jesus Christ, who is the only sinless one. He's the one without sin. And in that trust in Jesus Christ, we can walk blameless in our generations. Now, I'm not talking about this body of flesh. This body of flesh, it just has so much lust in it, so much bad desire in it, that it will always be under sin. That's why God comes through Jesus Christ to separate the mind from the body of sin. And only Jesus Christ can do it. He's the only one capable of separating the body of sin from the mind of the Spirit. Only Jesus can do it. Now listen to this. Where did I leave off? Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, God is doing something. Here comes, I don't want to use the term God. I want to use the term Jesus, because Jesus is who is making himself manifest to Abram in this moment. Behold, my covenant is with you. What's the covenant that God hath always made from beginning to end? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The eternal or everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ is what God has always made known. Behold, my covenant is with you. Jesus is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. So when he was talking to the apostle Paul, Saul was a murderer. He was a Jew. He was a destroyer of Christianity. He hated the truth that was in Jesus Christ. I could say it this way. He hated Jesus. He hated his disciples and was out to destroy them all. And yet, what did Saul possess that God was after? The word of God, the seed. Paul just did not understand that what the seed was and how it was working in him. Jesus makes himself known to Saul. And the moment that Jesus makes himself known to Saul, all of that word, all that seed that was in Saul was transformed in the blink of an eye. And the only thing that Saul could see and understand was Jesus the Christ. Lord, what would you have me to do? Immediately, his life changed. Immediately, he became a new person. He didn't understand it. His eyes were open to the Christ, but he had a ways to go, didn't he? And Ananias came and laid hands on him. Scales fell off of his eyes. And immediately, he was seen and heard in the synagogue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then God drove him to the backside of the desert for 14 years. Go read it in the book of Galatians. Drove him to the backside of the desert for 14 years. And while he was on the backside of the desert, God burning up all the wickedness, God translating all the word that was in him by the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, bringing it forth by the power of the Holy Ghost into a translation that was called the New Testament. Or the new covenant, where grace and truth were wed together. And all that mind of confusion was taken away. And he could clearly see Jesus, the one true God. Isn't that what we're all looking for? Because when the revelation of Jesus comes, folks, the declaration that takes place in heaven is that Babylon has fallen. I think it's in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. Babylon and all of her confusion is fallen. It's gone. And now the substance of heaven, the substance of things hoped for, begins to live in the mind that believes in the righteousness of the one true God. Behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Saul, but now your name will be Paul. Same story, isn't it, John?
Same story.
Same story.
Old man, new man.
Old man, new man. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant, my testimony. You're going to be a witness, Jesus Christ. Same language, folks. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So what did God just tell Abraham? I will always be your God and you will always be my people. That's a covenant that God made, and he's making it with you tonight. He will always be your God and you will always be his son. And I will give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Why did God make the covenant a covenant of circumcision? Anybody know? I will tell you. Because the covenant of circumcision is a covenant of a cutting away. You're cutting away the foreskin of the heart. The old man is taken away. The new man is on the scene. So when we get baptized into Jesus Christ, what happens in the heart? It's circumcised. The old man is cut away. All things become new. It's the covenant that God established with Abraham from the beginning. And he's also establishing it in you because it was established in Christ Jesus before the world began. And it has always been the appearing of Jesus Christ in that covenant to do that work by that same word, that same seed that God had put in you. Okay, I want to go to 2 Corinthians 6, 17. In chapter 8, we dealt with what an idol was, correct? Do you remember what an idol is? From 1 Corinthians 8, it's something that we think we know that we don't know, because we don't know. We think we know something, but we don't know. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said. So what did God say? That we are the temple of the living God, because the word abides in us. His son Jesus abides in us, sitting on a throne, ruling over nations, kingdoms, with great authority and power. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, who's he talking about? Is he talking about those who believe? And the answer is yes. Therefore, go out from their midst. I'm going to change this over to the King James. Wherefore, come out from among them. From among who? Idols and unbelievers?
The conversation of the wicked.
Stay out of the conversation of the wicked. Stay out of the counsel of your own thought. Because you are the temple of the living God. And when you stay in the counsel of your own thought, you are fellowshipping with unbelievers and you are worshiping idols. That's really a powerful thing to say. But you know what? It's a really hard thing for us to do, because we love to counsel ourselves in ourselves. We love it. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Here in this act of circumcision, what took place, John? There was a cutting away, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a cutting away of the unbeliever? Wasn't there a cutting away of the idols? Wasn't there a removing of the communion and of darkness so that now we can fellowship in the light of the glory of Jesus Christ? Isn't that what God has done for us? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God hath made a promise that he is fulfilling, even in your ears tonight. It is yours. God will fulfill it. From the foundations of the world, he prophesied about his son, Jesus Christ, and that Jesus would come into the world and take away the sins of the world, and that the world would deny him. The world would hate him. The world would kill him because it loves sin more than it loved God. That's what God knew. It loves sin more than it loved God. And yet, in the promise that he had put in that seed, Jesus Christ, was the hope of an everlasting covenant or an everlasting gospel, that this same Jesus was raised from the dead and set at his own right hand in heavenly places to rule over all things forever and ever. And that's the hope that you have in you by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the authority that God vested in his son. You know, what greater love could God give to his children, to his inheritance? What greater love could he give them than to send his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and remove it out of their way, take it out of their path, take the sin out, so that every son could receive the righteousness of the Father and be made one in the same mind and in the same heart forever and ever. John, you're about to be a grandpa. There is no greater work than you can have before you today than to see your son and your son's son joined together in that relationship, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God hath given us the power in believing for that to take place. We are blessed. We are blessed.
Yeah, I know, but
I've said a lot tonight, and I hope you have received it, because the hope that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, no matter what works in your thoughts, no matter what works contrary in your mind to being blameless before God, God's got it. God's going to. All you have to do is let God be God. Let God be God. You know, I remember we were at an elders conference. Well, he said it for the last two elders conferences that he was at, Pastor Rick. Rick said, you know, it's something. Every time God has spoken to me, and he spoke to me a lot, he's never spoken the scripture to me. See, it's hard for us to imagine that. You think God spoke scripture to Abraham? No, that's why he set him on a plateau and gave him the stars of heaven. All of a sudden, Abraham's mind grew because God said, Abraham, so shall the word of God be in you. It shall be there. You can take comfort in that when I speak to you, you are going to know that I am God. Before God sent his son Jesus into the world to die for the sins of the world, the Father and Son had a conversation. Every consciousness that was ever in the Father was vested in his son, Jesus Christ. So that when Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, there was no doubt that what he was sent to do to perform the will of the Father, he could do it. And God wants you as a son to know the same. God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you by the word of his power, by the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. And the fruit of it will turn your life upside down, and you will forever be changed by that word. Can you say amen?
Amen.